Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so this time of year, we always like to welcome back Mary Niemela from the Barber Kettle Gunlock Shelter Home. Mary, welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
So I'd love to be able to sit down one time and we say, well, it's good to have you back. There's been no cases of domestic violence. There's nobody at the shelter. Everything's going terrific, but we're probably not there yet.
No, we're not. And that's the thing when people say, well, it's job security. And I'd say, well, you know, I'd really like to be out of a job.
But, yeah.
You know, I've been there for maybe 26 years this month, and I'm still working. So I'm working towards ending that, of course. But it's a long haul for everybody, not just the shelter. It's for the whole community to be a part of that.
Does the shelter experience highs and lows compared with the seasons? Is the summer season busier than the winter, so to speak, or vice versa?
I think early on when I started there, we tried to track that a little bit because I believe it was in 1992 or 93, that month of February, we had 23 people in the house, 13 children under the age of 12 and 10 women. And we thought, oh no, this is maybe going to be a pattern or something. And it never happened like that again. Of course, we're only funded for 10 beds, but so you can imagine where families had mattresses on the floor in their bedrooms and not. But that was for a very short period of time, like 5 days. But, you can't turn away a family or say, well, we can only take a few of your kids, you know. And so we thought that. And then, you know, people have asked us about football season or the holidays. And if I were to make any claim to that, I would say people would probably go back more during the holidays because they think that would be a normal thing to have their family together as during Christmas or one of those other holidays, or people go back because it's the child's birthday and they want it to be normal. Well, that's easy for us to say, well, that's not really normal, but yet in their situation right now, maybe that is, and we really haven't followed a pattern. I wouldn't lay claim to saying that there is a specific time of when it happens more.
People coming to the shelter, do you tend to see new faces quite often, or do you get a lot of people who can't get out of the cycle and they return a number of times?
Well, statistically, a woman will leave, and I say a woman, I've been on the show probably 153 times in the last 2 years, but that's exaggerating, but it seems like you welcome us back all the time.
We're happy to.
Statistically, it's like 5 to 6 times before a woman will leave that situation and not return to it, you know, and we always have to remember that she loves and fears her partner. And it's difficult for everyone to understand that, but 95% of the abuse is against women in the reported cases in the United States, and we do provide services for the males that are victims as well of domestic violence. But our numbers have not decreased a lot. I always refer back to 2013-14 where we had 715 shelter nights. In 2014-15, we had 2,439 shelter nights. And so far in 2015-16 through the month of August, we have 958 shelter nights, plus we still have the finish out September. So, the numbers are there. I mean, and a shelter night is when a woman comes in with, say, 3 children, then that's 4 shelter nights for every night they're there. But our unduplicated numbers so far this fiscal year is 28 women and 23 children, and that's unduplicated, that we've only seen them once. Duplicated, it's like 223. We have those are non-residents and residents, and then it's just that they'll come back for counseling, or maybe they'll come back in to stay again because remember, they love them and fear them at the same time, and so they love their partner, whether it be their husband or their boyfriend, but they also fear him at the same time. So fear of things that he's going to do if she doesn't come back, and fear of things if she leaves. So it's really a mind game.
I wonder if the spike in those numbers has to do more with the success of creating awareness that encouraging, you know, spouses to get or partners to get out of these situations to seek help rather than there's been a spike in violence. The violence may have always been happening. Just now people are finding a way to get help.
Right. I believe that, too, is that, you know, they know that they don't have to stay at the shelter to get our services. And a lot of times I think they've been told that if they come and stay at the shelter, they're not going to be able to leave or they're not going to be able to, you know, go to work or whatever. And that's certainly not our, you know, people come there, they work, they go to school, they do everything they would do in their, you know, own home as far as being able to visit their family and whatnot. And I think a lot of times once they realize that and they understand that, you know, we're there for counseling too, non-residents, and there's no fee for any of our services. And they can come back and just talk to our counselor or come to our support groups on Tuesday mornings and Thursday evenings and bring their children. And because we have a children's worker that'll be with the kids and find out that services is there for them as a non-resident as well as a resident. I think that people will seek us out more to know that we have a court advocate, that we have a counselor, we have a children's worker, that we can help them with a lot of things besides the immediate situation that they're in.
Mary, I've seen a case recently that it was referred to as super dad syndrome, and I don't know if that's an official term or not, but the situation was where you had a battering husband, and so the wife is trying to get him to move out, and they separate. And every time the husband comes around, it's like Santa Claus has come to town when it comes to the children. The dad wants to take them to the park, to the ball games, comes bearing presents. And in that situation, the kids begin to view the mother as the bad person in all this because she's the one that doesn't want dad to come to the birthday party or, you know, they won't give dad a break when he comes over and is always starting a fight, you know, when really it was the other way around.
Yep, thanks for bringing up the children, because sometimes I forget to talk about that, because we're always focusing on the adult victim, but children are victims as well. If it's not directly, it's indirectly. And you referred to him as Super Dad, and we've referred to him in the past as Disneyland Dad. And I don't want to bash the fathers either, even though they're, you know, 95% of the time the batterer. We want to get them help too. And, you know, there's the batterers group, of course, to help that along. And sometimes it's jail. That helps a lot, too. You know, unfortunately, that it gets to that point at some time, unfortunately. And but that's what happens is that, you know, they're trying to use the children to get to their partner, whether it be making their partner look bad to the children or, you know, forgetting to drop things off, and now they got to go back and bring them back when they've had visitation with their children, or just always trying to keep in contact with the victim, whether it be to intimidate her or to convince the kids that they're the better parent and they love them more because they can buy them all these things. And if that wasn't a practice of the father beforehand or whoever the non-custodial parent is, then it really sends mixed messages to their kids, and they're messing up their kids, you know, and the kids are confused, and it's not the kids' choice to which parent they go to live with. And it's doing all that Disneyland stuff or super dad things isn't going to make them come out better in the court system at the end. It's going to be a reflection on what they're doing and why weren't they doing that before and why are they doing that now. And other than to win over their children. And sometimes it kind of backfires on them, because what if they do win over their children, and then now what are they doing? What if they're the custodial parent and they don't have people for childcare and they don't have all that? And really the purpose of that was to intimidate their partner, or the child's mother. And that does happen a lot, and way too long in my time of working with victims, and that would happen. And then the kids would come back from parenting time and they would be telling their mom, well, we're going to go live with dad anyway. You know, dad told us this and dad told us that. And dad said, if we come back, you know, he'll get us this or but it's all up to you, Mom. You know, it's all, you know, it's your fault. We can't see Dad. And that's not true. In majority of cases, it's not true, especially if it's already in the court systems. You know, they've chosen to work with friend of the court. And I always say to clients, you always need to tell the truth when you're working in the court systems. And certainly with the friend of the court or in the courts to your lawyer or whatever, because they are going to do an investigation and they are going to find out what's happening. And it's always best to be honest about that. And the victim doesn't want to make their partner look bad either. You know, that's the thing. And so they just, it's really a catch-22. The kids are the ones that are getting mixed up, and it's, kids are not the reason why their mother's getting beat up and they're getting thrown into the mix.
This seems to go along with something else that you have brought up in the past, that abuse is not always physical. That's right. What we look at, but it can be, you know, mental. It can involve intimidation, mm-hmm. and using the kids as a weapon against right. your spouse is one way to really make somebody miserable.
Right, and that's a good point too, because emotional abuse is, women have told us, is worse than the physical abuse, because the black eyes and bruises go away, but that internal garbage stays for a lot longer, and especially when there's children involved. We know when you're a child and you have children, and you know, especially the younger they are, the more intuitive they are. You know, they're coloring or doing something. Well, coloring, like who colors? I suppose now they're playing on their phones or whatever. But and they're listening. You know, they're not. You don't think they are, but they are. And all of a sudden, you know, Dad's saying something to Mom and making her feel bad, and she's not saying anything back because, of course, she knows the consequences if she does that. And so then all of a sudden those kids are treating Mom the way Dad's treating Mom. And then Dad's scolding the kids for treating Mom that way. And so there's another example of why they get sent all those mixed messages. And so if it doesn't work with Mom, so they take it into their own relationships, whether it be with their peers on the playground or their young dating relationships or into marriages. I mean, if nobody stops Dad, nobody's going to stop the kids. And it's just terrifying to me to know that children are growing up in that home, in those homes, and learning that that's a behavior that they can also carry on. And that's what it's all about. It's a learned behavior. It's not a mental illness. Very rarely is it a mental illness. And if it's not stopped, it just keeps going and going and going with generation and generation and generation.
Well, that's why it's good that we do take the time to talk, and I have mm-hmm. no problem inviting you back, you know, a couple of times a year like we have you. And
I think this is my third.
Possible. That's all right. Well, this is a good time of year to have you back in because of the October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You have a couple of events coming up in October that do, you know, bring attention to this problem.
Right. October is a month to do a lot of awareness, and we also throughout the year do different things as well. But a couple of things that we're doing is one, that this is our third annual of this, is always on the first Monday of October, which is the Day of Unity across the United States. And not all shelters do things on that day, but we like to do it. We like to focus on the Day of Unity. And that would be always the first Monday of October. And ours is our third annual Ride Against Abuse. So we're having our motorcycle ride in on Monday, October 3rd, and that will be starting at 6 o'clock at the American in Calumet. And Diane's been very gracious to let us take up her parking lot there and have a little bit of a conversation with the participants. And before we take off, I'm not on a bike. I'm in my car in the back of the bikes before the last police car, because we do have a police escort. And it's just a wonderful thing. The first year I thought, well, let's make some noise. I thought if two bikes show up, I'll be excited, you know. And 23 came, and then last year 26 came. So I thought, okay, these are dedicated people now. And so I understand motorcycles or bikers or whatever we're going to call them like patches. And so I've ordered patches for the first 50 people that show up. I have 50 patches that says, we came up with this last year, the ADV riders. So it's Against Domestic Violence Riders. So if you come to the event this year and on your motorcycle, you'll get a patch to put on your jacket or vest or whatever it is that you're wearing. And of course, the purple bandanas, I've given those out the last 2 years, and I have those again this year for those that don't have them. And I'm very excited about it. I'm really hoping that we get more and more and more, because it's a quick ride. It's from Calumet to Kestner Park, but we travel on US 41 up around Montezuma and down Sheldon and in Kestner Park, and we don't stop at any stoplights, all three of them. And if they, well, unless the one in Hancock's not removed yet, then it'll be four lights. So I'll have to involve the Hancock police this year. And they stop, Houghton City has stopped the traffic on the bridge for us to go by, so we don't have to stop. And I tell that to the people downstate when I go for our meetings, that we don't have to stop at all three stoplights. And they just like, we have that in one block, you know. So it's going to be an exciting event again this year. And I've heard back from return people again that they'll be there. So that's a good thing.
Don't ride motorcycles yourself?
I would love to ride on the back of a Harley, but I don't know. I've got such a cool view of them, all the bikes just ahead of me, and they just know what to do, and they part. They take the whole road, and people are waving and, you know, and saying hello and tooting their horns and things like that. So I've got the best view.
Someone's
got
to bring one of those sidecars. I don't know if they still have those.
Yeah.
Like in the old movies.
Well, there is one gentleman that has a bike that's got, it's just a really neat bike, and it would probably have room for me to ride comfortably on the back, but I would have to have him ride in the back because I like to be able to see all the bikes on ahead of me. But maybe one of these years. Of course, I'd have to have a helmet and probably elbow pads and knee pads and the whole thing. But
do you need to register for this?
No, just show up. There's no fee to take part in it or anything. And Diane always has coffee for us while we talk. And I know last year somebody from your station was there, and TV6 was there, and the Gazette was there at the end. And so we've had a lot of media coverage with that as well, and we certainly appreciate that. And it's just an awareness. It needs to be out there that it's not just happening in October. It's happening all year round. And then a few days down the road from that, we're having on October 6th, we're having a color cruise that, is being sponsored for us by the Isle Royale Queen, the Isle Royale Queen 4, I guess. It's the Isle Royale line, Don Kilpela's line up in Copper Harbor that does the sunset cruises. I think it's a whole family event up there. It's not probably just Don. I talked with him in May, and we were originally talking about having this event in the end of September, and he made an announcement there that he was going to do this as a fundraiser for us, and we really appreciate that. Well, then his boat isn't coming into the Houghton Canal until October. So it's moved into October, and it's on October 6th. And unfortunately, nobody's up in their office at that time, so all of the reservations, monies, and all that are going to have to be coming to the shelter and to our P.O. box. And there is a lot of information on our Facebook page, our web page, and a whole bunch of other people's Facebook pages. If you haven't heard about it yet, please call the shelter at 337-5632. Monday through Friday between 8 and 4. Actually, you can call and put your name on the list at any time. Our workers there have lists available to them. And it's $25 a person. Ages 14 and under is $15, and 4 and under are free. And it is going to be an appetizer cruise because we depart at 6 o'clock, which is like dinner time for most people. But we'll be boarding about 5:30 from the dock by Roy's Bakery, and it's about an hour and a half round trip cruise, and we have one of your own on the back of the cruise doing some sing-alongs with us. Chris Cairo will be joining us, and so I think she has the words down for it's a 3-hour cruise from Gilligan's Island, but we're going to cut that in half. And it's going up to the North Entry. So it should be a beautiful night. And I believe, unless we have a terrible thunderstorm, that he wouldn't be out on the water because of lightning. We will sail no matter what. And I don't believe the canal will be frozen over yet at that time. So,
no, in fact, from what we're hearing is they've backed up what, you know, usually we get our peak colors by the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And they've backed it up for 2 weeks. And they're saying now into October, closer to, you know, the second week of October,
oh,
we'll see peak. It's been a crazy summer.
That's right.
You know. Climate change, eh? You know, mm-hmm. And so we're a little later on the color cruise, mm-hmm. or the colors for the color cruise, mm-hmm. there, so it might work out.
This is something that Don has done for us, his father, actually, many, many, many years ago. And I thought, when I saw him up at the Keweenaw Path event in Copper Harbor, I thought, we should start a conversation about that again. And we've had some good response about it so far. So I hope people come out for it. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And you would have limited seating on there, so I would encourage people to register and pay in advance.
Miranda up there said between 80 and 90, but that would be like everybody's not going to be able to move around too much. So I would say 80 would be a good number to say that, you know, comfortably. And like I said, we will have appetizers too, and that'll be set up down in the galley of the boat and of course, you could ride up in the, stand up in the front too, and pretend you're the Titanic, and but don't fall over.
the shelter home itself, you do a terrific service there, so valuable to the community. Most of the time, we don't see what you're doing, and I guess that's kind of the purpose of it. Is mm-hmm. you work behind the scenes there. How is it made possible and funded?
Well, we're funded. Our main funding source comes from the Michigan Domestic Sexual Violence Treatment and Prevention Board, and both the acronym and the title of that are difficult to say. And we also receive monies, of course, from United Way, and we're very appreciative of that in our community as well. And a lot of that is given through payroll deduction or some of their fundraisers that they're doing as well. And so those are our main funding sources. And we also received this year, which we haven't had in a number of years, is a rural grant, which won't be coming through till January. Our DV funders had written that grant for us a number of years ago, and then we lost it because whoever the powers that be are that say who gets that money sent it to another state. And last year, we tried writing it for the 18 counties in Michigan that are rural, it's our Lansing people, and it got given to another state. And so this year, she focused on the UP shelters and Dell Help, I believe, as well. So we received it this year, so we're very excited to get that. And it's enough to just carry us through to the end of the fiscal year. I mean, our funding sources, our grant monies, you know, for us carried us through August. And so now September, we're relying on the people in the community that have given us local funding, which we're very appreciative of, to carry us through to the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. And so... you know, that's why we have these fundraisers, is to keep us going. And so that will be hopeful, too. I also wrote for a VOCA grant, a second round of monies that were offered, which is the Violence of Crime Act, with hopes to get some of that. And I'll find out mid-October. I've never written for a VOCA grant before, so this is the first time. And so we're hopeful for that. And also... just some other local grants that we've written for through the Portage Health Foundation, and we haven't received a word about that yet either. So that doesn't mean that we're going to be rolling in money for sure at all. And all that little extra monies, they go to direct services to clients. And because we're there 24 hours, 365 days a year, and we always have to have operating expenses, whether we have somebody in shelter or not. And so... we're very appreciative of the extra funds that come in.
You have the Riot Against Abuse coming up on Monday, October 3rd at 6 p.m., starting up at the America Inn in Calumet, and then driving all the way down through Houghton and ending at Kestner Waterfront Park. There is no charge and no registration needed for that. Just show up, bring your bike, and get your patch. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you have just enough patches.
I know. I would love to give them away. I would love to say, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait till next year. I'll order them. They'll be in the mail. So.
And then the Color Cruise coming up on October 6th. You've given some contact information for that. 906-337-5632 is the phone number. Or you can visit, you have an email there, bkghome@pasti.com. And usually you have a website and Facebook page
right,
now too.
Right, correct, so. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mary, thank you so much for coming in. Again, one of these times we're going to sit down and we're not going to have anything to talk about, but about good stuff. Until then, just keep up what you're doing.
Thank you very much for having us again.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.